ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् वत्सलाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिश्रुतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् शूद्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै धिया सहो देति
धिया सहो देति
धियास्तमेति
धियास्तमेति
लोकस्ततो धि प्रविभास्य एषः लोकस्ततो धि प्रविभास्य एषः धीलोकजन्म क्षयधाम पूर्णम् धीलोकजन्म क्षयधाम पूर्णम् सद्वस्तु जन्म क्षयशून्यमेकम्
सद्वस्तु जन्म क्षयशून्यमेकम्
धिया सहो देति
धिया सहो देति
धियास्तमेति
धियास्तमेति
लोकस्ततो
लोकस्ततो
धि प्रविभास्य एषः धीलोकजन्म क्षयधाम पूर्णम् सद्वस्तु जन्म क्षयशून्यमेकम् is lokaha. If you take that second sentence, you find this word lokaha. Lokaha. First word is what? Lokaha. Now, when you say the lokaha, in English language, there is no reason why the universe is called universe or world is called world. Even if you have the roots in Latin or Greek, there is no meaning why the world is called world. Is any reason for that? No. I don't know, but I'm asking you people, okay? Okay. Then, but some Sanskritam, when you say, in Tamil you say ulakam, in Sanskritam you say lokaha. The who you have to add this up. So lokaha, jagat, prapanchaha, bhuvanam, whatever word you use to mean the word, every word has a reason why you use that particular word. And here he says lokaha means lokyate iti lokaha. That which is perceived is the world. Loka. That which is perceived, that which is perceptible is the world. Therefore lokaha means the objective universe. Perceptible is what? Lokaha. So the objective universe available for perception, the perceptible universe, lokaha, udeti astameti. the universe becomes manifest. Udayati means literally rises. Okay? Udayati, what's the word? Find the word Dhyasaha Udayati. Udayati means rises. Rises. Astameti means sets, literal meaning. But here, the world rises and sets means what? The world becomes manifest, the world becomes unmanifest. The world becomes manifest, the world becomes unmanifest. The world becomes manifest, it exists, and again it resolves. Which means, there is a time the world comes into manifestation. There is a time the world enjoys existence. And there is a time the world resolves or becomes unmanifest. Which means the world does not remain continuously manifest. The world is. The world exists. It is. But does it remain manifest continuously? No. Which means it has, there's a time when the universe, the world becomes manifest. There's a time the world becomes resolved, unmanifest. Which means there's a time the world does not exist for you. There's a time the world enjoys existence for you. There's a time the world becomes manifest. So, when does the world become manifest? When does the world rise? And when does the world enjoy existence? And when does the world remain unmanifest? He says, Dhyasaha. Dhihi literally means intellect specifically. But here Dhihi means Antahkaranam. Antahkaranena saha lokaha udeti. Along with the world, along with the antahkaranam, the mind, the world comes into manifestation. Okay, which means that when the antahkaranam remains resolved, there is a time when the antahkaranam remains resolved, all the thoughts remain resolved, the antahkaranam remains non-functional, totally passive. Totally passive, non-functional, you know, state of mind is called what? Deep sleep state experience. That is how the mind functions. You cannot question the mind, why the mind falls asleep. Why the mind, there is something called deep sleep state. Why does the mind become non-functional? That's how the mind functions. That is the, that's how the function of meditation is. So, when the mind remains resolved, inactive, totally passive, all the thoughts are resolved, then the world also becomes what? Resolved. The world remains unmanifest. So, along with the world, when the mind, when there is a waking state of mind, a waking state of experience, when the mind rises, when the mind becomes functional, totally active, all the thoughts are there, the mind becomes, Jagat also, along with the world, it becomes manifest. Which means, yesterday we saw already, the body, now the world exists, along with body and the world coexist, I said, we saw, which means, the body, the physical body is included in part of, included in this objective universe. So when does the body exist for you? When does it become manifest for you? Only when the mind rises. For Dhyasaha, along with the mind, this entire objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex. Okay? including your body, and senses, along with the mind, the world comes into manifestation. Dhyasaha udeti. Then Dhyasaha astameti. Dhyasaha astameti. The entire world, objective universe, including your body and senses, resolve, remain unmanifest along with the mind. When the mind is resolved in deep sleep state, it is inactive, totally passive, all the thoughts are resolved, the jagat also becomes unmanifest. Yesterday what we saw, the same thing is repeated here. The jagat does not exist independently outside of your mind. The thoughts rise when there is manifestation of knowledge, and then the sense powers become functional. Then there is a perception and the world exists for you. When thoughts are resolved, still knowledge is, but there is no manifestation of knowledge. Because thoughts are resolved, then what happens? Jagat also is resolved. Jagat also remains unmanifest. So existence of the world arises, manifestation of the world, existence of the world, and then the jagat, you know, resolution of the world is dependent on the rising for existence and resolution of the thoughts. This is antahkaranam. So dhiya saha udeti. He says dhiya saha udeti lokaha. Lokaha dhiya saha. Dhiya saha astameti. Saha means along with. Okay. Dhiya saha udeti, dhiya saha astameti lokaha. Tataha, therefore, what is it, what becomes very clear for us? What becomes very clear? Only when the mind is functional, the world enjoys existence. When the mind is non-functional, the world doesn't enjoy existence. Isn't it true? When you fall asleep, whole night, when you're fast asleep, there's no jagat for you. When you wake up, when you wake up from sleep, which is rising of the mind, antahkaranam, where the aham vritti rises, idam vritti rises, the thoughts become, all the thoughts are there, rise, you know, all thoughts rise, then jagat also is there for you. Every day it happens after sleep. Every day when you fall asleep, when the mind is asleep, again jagat resolves. Every day it happens. This is called what? Layaha. Isn't it? Srishtihi layaha. Srishti, sthiti, laya. What? The same thing happens in death also. What happens in death? When the parabdha comes to an end, the antahkaranam departs, leaves the physical body. So departure of antahkaranam from the physical body is what? Death. The physical antahkaranam leaves, all the subtle aspects leave the physical body, then the body becomes dead. Dead means the life is not there anymore, because the consciousness is in the body, but there is no manifestation of consciousness in the physical body. For the consciousness to manifest, it needs what? Now, sukshma, subtle. There is no subtle body, therefore there is no manifestation of consciousness. Because consciousness is all pervasive, everywhere it is there. Always it is there. Timelessly, all pervasively, eternally it is there. Therefore, in the physical, the dead body also is in and through, pervaded by consciousness. But still, it is not, it's a dead body, there's no life in it. So what is life then? Even the consciousness becomes manifest, it is beginning of life. When the consciousness remains unmanifest, there is no life. Understand now? The consciousness is manifest, that is the beginning of life. So the dead body, consciousness is, but there is no sukshma, therefore there is no manifestation. Therefore the consciousness in the physical body is what? Non-interactable, non-recognizable, non-accessible, inaccessible. Now what happens to the mantakana which leaves?
I'll just turn the fan.
What happens to the antakaranam? See, the antakaranam, when the departed antakaranam from the gross body cannot be functional. For the sukshma shariram to be functional, it needs a gross physical body. For the instruments of enjoyment to be functional, there must be abode of enjoyment. They had to be together for the instruments of enjoyment to be functional. The physical body is required. For the physical body to be alive, for the life to be there, the subtle body must indwell the gross body. So, when the subtle body departs physical body, what happens? Consciousness is there everywhere, isn't it? The antakaranam is a conscious subtle body leaves. But the gross body is what now? It is dead because there is no life. Because there is no manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness is, but there is no manifestation, therefore there is no life. Okay, what is beginning of life now? Every time consciousness becomes manifest, there is beginning of life. So beginning of life should not be mistaken for beginning of consciousness. People must make this mistake. So beginning of life, when the consciousness becomes manifest, that's the beginning of life. So that's why the beginning of life should not be mistaken for beginning of consciousness, because all the time we say what consciousness is eternal, timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless. We've been always understanding. So it's not origination of consciousness. It doesn't originate because the beginningless, anadi, satyam. Therefore the mind, the antakaranam, just departed the physical body, also becomes what? It's conscious, but is non-functional. Imperceptible, isn't it? Therefore, when the mind is non-functional, without the physical body, then also what happens? The jagat is resolved. Understand? The mind is present, alive, conscious, but still the vrittis are resolved. Mind is non-functional. Therefore, there is no manifestation of consciousness. Understand? Which means there is no jagat again. How long? Until the subtle body assumes another body and again it is reborn, there is no jagat. That's called what now? Pralayaha. The time the world remains resolved for you, isn't it? That states what? Layaha every day. Sleep is laya. Death is pralayaha. The same way, you know, after four yugas, when the whole jagat dissolves, we don't even know that, okay? We don't understand in the context of sleep and death. We don't even know, because before one mahapralaya would have come and gone many, many times. So mahapralaya is what? The whole world becoming dissolved, dissolution, deluge, mahapralaya. Again, we talk about this srishti. Again, the world becomes manifest. So, the world becoming manifest is srishti. The world becoming unmanifest is layaha. Okay, pralayaha. Srishti, laya. Srishti, laya. And the sthiti is what? Existence. So, there's a time the world rises, comes into manifestation, which is srishti. There's a time the world exists, that is sthitihi. There's a time when the world resolves, becomes unmanifest. This is laya. Srishti, sthiti, laya. There's a constantly jagat become, which means there is no creation of the universe. The objective universe is not created. This objective universe also is what? Anadihi. It is always there. Anadi. But there's a time it becomes manifest. There's a time it remains existent. There's a time it remains unmanifest. This becoming manifest, remaining existent, becoming unmanifest is called what? Srishti, sthiti, laya of the universe. There's no creation of the universe. There's only manifestation of the universe. But for the universe to become manifest, to remain resolved, it needs a substratum. What is that substratum? Isn't it? That's why you say, dhyasaha udeti, dhyasaha astameti. When the mind rises, the world also becomes manifest. When the mind is functional, the world enjoys existence. When the mind remains, becomes non-functional, all the thoughts resolve, the jagat also becomes unmanifest. That's what he says in this two first lines. Dhyasaha udeti, dhyasaha astameti. I'm adding saha again, okay? Dhyasaha astameti lokaha. Tataha, therefore, yeshaha lokaha di pravibhasyaha. This entire universe is what now? Illumination of the entire universe is illumined by illuminable by the mind. Pravibhasyaha. The universe is illumined by the conscious mind. Conscious, sentient, functional mind. Understand? Therefore, who is the illuminator of this entire universe? Who lends existence to this entire objective universe? Who is that? It is the conscious mind. Mind is ever conscious. Because mind is never separate from consciousness. Mind is ever conscious. Ever conscious, but there's a time it is functional, there's a time it is non-functional. So this ever conscious mind, when it is functional, then what now? There is universe. Therefore, the illuminator of this universe is the antahkaranam, mind. Now, the next question comes. How does the mind also is, let's say that we saw it already, mind also is, you know, the product of what? Sattvic aspect of elements. Therefore, the mind also is inert, elemental, material product. For the mind to become capable of illumining this universe, mind to have the status of being the illuminator of this universe, the knower of this universe, isn't it? Something else must be blessing it, and that is distinct from the mind. It is not distant from the mind, but distinct from the mind. That is what we say about Chaitanyam. Isn't it? So he says, Pravibhasya Eshaha Dhi Loka Janma Kshaya Dhamma. Dhi Loka Janma Kshaya Dhamma Purnam Sadvastu. Now, Dhi for this mind and Loka Janma. Dhi Loka, this universe illumined by the mind. Janma means what now? The creation, I mean the srishti. Then kshaya is a laya. Dhamma means what? Abode. Janma kshaya means what? The abode of, the substratum of this, the manifestation, and the, for the universe to become unmanifest, for the universe to become manifest, there must be a substratum, the dhamma. Dhamma means what? The abode, the existence. So, here, Dhi Loka Janma Kshaya Dhamma, see the source of existence, the substratum where the universe becomes manifest and where it resolves. For the universe to become manifest and to resolve, it needs a substratum, and that is called what here? Dhamma, isn't it? Therefore, Dhi Loka Janma Kshaya Dhamma. What is a substratum for the mind, for the universe which becomes manifest along with the mind, which remains unmanifest along with the mind? For this mind and the universe to become manifest and unmanifest, it needs a substratum, and that substratum, the dhamma, means abode. Now you can say, water is the dhamma for the entire the ocean full of waves. All the waves rise, remain, no, exist and resolve in the water. So water is the dhamma. Understand? So here, what is the dhamma? for this dhiloka janmakshaya dhama. What is that? What is the abode? What is the existence? What is the substratum where this world along with the mind becomes manifest and become remains existent and remains resolved, becomes unmanifest? That is Purnam Sat. Purnam Sat, that is what? That is the existence, the absolute reality, the pure existence which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of fullness. Every object enjoys existence. The existence enjoyed by every object is what? You cannot cognitively remove the object and take the existence separately. Understand? Cognitively, physically, that existence is what? At the existence enjoyed by every object is ekam, one, all pervasive, sarvagatam, ekam sarvagatam, it is indivisible, partless, whole, and then it is beginningless. The existence is one, indivisible, all pervasive, it has no beginning, the existence has no beginning, existence has no end, existence is of the nature of changelessness. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, svatantram, and existence enjoys. Existence is not dependent on any namarupa for its existence. The svatantram also. Ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, is it svatantram? And that is existence, is what? Sadvastu, the Purnam Sadvastu, which is of the nature of fullness. Purnam Sadvastu. And that existence is what? Actually, we understand there is no existence other than consciousness, which is one's real nature, which is the essential nature of everything here. And consciousness, which is the which obtains the existence of everything, is free from what? Janmakshaya. Is free from beginning and the end. It has no birth, it has no resolution. It doesn't become janmakshaya shunyam ekam. The sadvastu is what? Ekam, it is one. And janma kshaya shunyam. Janma shunyam is what? It is free from birth, it is free from kshaya. It doesn't become resolved. Consciousness never becomes resolved. Consciousness never becomes manifest. It doesn't become unmanifest. Consciousness is not born. Chayana means retreat, means destruction. But here we should take it resolution. Janma and kshaya. Okay? There is no birth of consciousness. There is no death of consciousness. Consciousness is free from birth and death. Understand? But every object becoming manifest, the entire universe becoming manifest is what? Creation of the universe. When the universe, birth of the universe. When the universe becomes unmanifest, it is what? It is death of the universe. Understand? Death of the object. Really speak. What he wants to say here is, there is no such a thing called this absolute total destruction of anything at all. What we call as death or destruction, or what we call as resolution and unmanifest is what? Actually, the object becoming unmanifest, the world becoming unmanifest is what? Resolution of the world, a resolution of the world. The world becoming manifest is what? Creation of the world. Srishti, sthiti, laya actually is dependent on the functioning and the non-functioning of the mind. Understand? Which means, whereas the consciousness, there's never a time consciousness rises and consciousness resolves. Consciousness is always there, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, as very substratum, for this universe along with the mind, when it becomes manifest, when it becomes unmanifest, is an abode, is always there as a locus. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
That is what is said here. Purnam sadvastu di loka janma kshaya dhama purnam sadvastu, that sadvastu janma kshaya shunyam ekam. It is free from, shunyam means it is free from, devoid of birth and death, and devoid of what? Rising and resolution. In fact, consciousness does not become manifest. Consciousness does not become unmanifest. Consciousness just is. Understand? When the thoughts rise, there is manifestation of consciousness. The thoughts resolve, consciousness is still pure conscious. We don't say unmanifest, okay? But still, people use, but actually speaking, they say the consciousness. That's why I said there is no such thing called manifest consciousness and pure consciousness, just the consciousness. Isn't it? Thoughts rise, mind is functional, thoughts rise, you say what? Manifestation of consciousness. Thoughts resolve, pure consciousness. Thoughts rise, manifest consciousness. Thoughts resolve, pure consciousness. Where is the pure consciousness and thoughts? Just the consciousness. Understand? And the consciousness is the existence. So where is consciousness now? Consciousness is all the time experienced not as consciousness but as existence of every object. The existence, everything, when you can, Swami said as the is, every object is means it enjoys existence. Existence enjoyed by every consciousness is what? Every exist enjoy every object is what? Consciousness only. But where can you recognize consciousness as consciousness? Only in your own mind, one's own mind, as the very truth of I, the surup of I. Okay? Purnam sadvastu, what now? Janma kshaya shunyam. And that existence, sadvastu is what? Ekam. Okay? The world of objects are what? Many. But sadvastu, substratum of this entire universe is what? One. Ekam. Is it clear? This is nice verse actually. Sometimes the verses are also very funny verses. Okay.
Bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani. Parasya namakriti bhissaparyaha.
Parasya namakriti bhissaparyaha.
Sadvastuni.
Sadvastuni.
Prapta.
Prapta.
Tadatma bhava.
Tadatma bhava.
Nishthaiva.
Nishthaiva.
Saddarshanamityavehi.
Saddarshanamityavehi.
Bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani.
Bhavantu saddarshana sadhanani.
Parasya namakriti bhissaparya.
Parasya namakriti bhissaparya.
Sadvastuni.
Sadvastuni.
Prapta.
Prapta.
Tadatma bhava.
Tadatma bhava.
Nishtaiva saddarshanamityavehi.
Nishtaiva saddarshanamityavehi.
What is saddarshanam? He says, saddarshanam iti avehi. This is what is saddarshanam iti avehi. May you understand that this is what is saddarshanam. Avehi means what? May you understand. Avehi. May you understand that this is what is saddarshanam. What is saddarshanam here? Sadvastuni prapta tad atma bhavaha. Sadvastu, the existence, and the absolute reality is nothing but existence of every, enjoyed by every object here, every namarupa. And without with the object, the every namarupa will lose its existence. And that reality, the existence, is nothing but one's own real nature, the consciousness. Prapta tad atma bhava. Understand? Atma bhava means what now? The existence enjoyed by every object is nothing but consciousness, which is myself. Which is, okay, I, myself, am the consciousness, which is the existence enjoyed by every object. If this is very clear. And he says, okay, make it very quickly, just to finish it first. Sattvastuni prapta tad atmabhava. It is nishtha. Nishtha means what here? Nishtha here again, abiding in the vision of one's own real nature, being consciousness, and seeing that consciousness as the existence enjoyed by everything in this universe. Which means for the person of vision, there is no, consciousness is one's real nature, and consciousness is the existence of the universe. Therefore, everything here is what? The consciousness. And this nishtha, this is called what now? Nishtha, that being endowed with the clear, doubt-free, ascertained, assimilated vision of one's real nature being consciousness, and which is the existence of the whole, is called what? Nishtha. So he says, even now I find, we see the old age problem, isn't it? I was thinking of Swamiji. Every time I have to take the specs to see the book, look into the book. Okay. Prapta tad atma bhavaha. What is sadvastu? What is existence enjoyed by everything here, enjoyed by the universe? Existence enjoyed by everything is atma. What is atma here? The all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of one's own self. Atma bhavaha. For the person of vision, the sadvastu is nothing but one's own self. If a person is very clear about the existence of the universe being one's own real nature, the consciousness, then he is endowed with the assimilated vision of the truth, and this is called saddarshanam. Understand now? Atma bhava, tadatma bhavaha, this existence, the sadvastu, enjoyed by the whole jagat, every object here is nothing but consciousness, and the consciousness is myself. Okay, the substance or substantive I, the real nature. If the person is endowed with this ascertained vision of this fact, and that is called nishtha, that nishtha is what? Saddarshanam. Please may you understand that being endowed with this assimilated vision of the existence being one's own real nature, the consciousness is what? Saddarshanam. He says that. Then, what about other things then? Parasya sapariyaha. Sapariya means puja. All varieties of different types of the forms of worship. We don't have one form of worship, isn't it? We have many different forms of worship. Sapariya means worship. So even the service society is also a form of worship. Performance of fire ritual is a form of worship. Offering flowers and offering, no, physically offering pranams, etc., or doing abhishek in the temple is a form of worship. Nama japa is a form of worship. Meditation is also, even Ramanama japa, if you are doing meditation, any manasa japa or vachika japa, oral activity, as oral japa or mental japa, repetition of a mantra or meditation, even the physical done puja, fire ritual or abhishekam or offering flowers, Shodashapachara puja, Panchapachara puja, any going to the temple or going to the church or coming around anything, doing any form of worship is called what here? Sapariyaha. All forms of worship, he says, worship of the Lord, parasya. Paraha means the Lord. All forms of worship of the Lord, he says, parasya. Nama akriti bihi. We give a name to, we invoke the grace of the Lord in a given form with the given name. You can call Krishna or Rama or Devi or Subramanya or Shiva, or you can call some other names also. Is there any other name? Whatever name, in whatever, with any name and with different names and different forms, when we offer worship, you know, param worship also of the Lord, all of the nama akriti bihi parasya sapariyaha, varieties of pujas and things which we perform, all of them should be taken as what here he says, sattarshana sadhanani bhavantu. They're all only means of attainment of, they're only means of preparation of the mind for the vision of the truth. So performances of pujas and worships, etc., they themselves do not become the sadarshanam. Okay? The varieties of, we have different forms of worship, and any form of worship, is it good or not? Should I worship the Lord or not? If we have, nobody will say worshiping the Lord is bad. Very important to worship the Lord. Please worship the Lord. Which form should they worship? Whatever form you want to worship, you worship. Whichever form of worship you want to follow, you can follow. You can do nama japa, you can do mantra japa, you can practice meditation, you can offer flowers, you can do namaskar, you can go to temple, you can do pradakshinam. Somebody asked me, in one temple, I think Narada asked me, I think, there is anga pradakshinam. No, the whole body people lie down and they do different. You saw another temple, no? So there is different forms of worship. You can sing bhajans and sing, all sorts, no, singing kirtans, not many units of actions constituting one act of worship. With the varieties of the forms of worship we have, all of them you can definitely follow, or any one of them you can follow. What is possible you can do, it's very important to do, because it is an excellent means of preparing our mind for knowledge. Every time you worship, you remain connected with Bhagavan. That's how you can relate to Bhagavan. Isn't it? The time spent for worship, the puja, japa, etc. is what? Time spent for oneself. Because you remain connected with Bhagavan, the time you remain connected with Bhagavan is a time spent for yourself. That's the way you begin to avoid self-negligence. How can you avoid self-negligence? By remaining connected with Bhagavan. By being with yourself. How can you be with yourself when you do not know what you are? Very difficult. That is why in order to learn to avoid self-negligence, in order to be with oneself, initially you learn to be with Bhagavan, and in order to be with Bhagavan, you have to remain connected with Bhagavan. To remain connected with Bhagavan, the Ishvara, the Lord, the puja, the worship, the prayer, the japa, meditation, all of them help you as means. And then the more you practice this, the more you become qualified for vision also. Therefore he says, be very careful, all these sapariyaha, varieties of forms of worship prescribed by the Shastram, or people have their own forms of worship, all of them with the names and forms, nama, akriti bihi. Okay, I worship Krishna's, Murti or Shiva's. Akriti means a form. Nama means name. I say Namah Shivaya. I say Om Namah Narayanaya. Nama, akriti bihi, with the name, in a given form, with a given form. When you worship the Lord, you know, doing different, many pujas, etc., all of them are very good, fine, but understand all those forms of worship to be only the means of preparation of the mind for sadarshanam. The performance of puja itself does not become sadarshanam. Is it clear? Then what is sadarshanam then? He says in the third line. Sadarshanam is what? Seeing the existence enjoyed by every every object here is nothing but consciousness, which is myself. Okay, I self am consciousness, which is the existence enjoyed by everything else. Therefore, all the T-series is what? Manifestation of knowledge, the consciousness. The existence is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, all the T-series is knowledge, which is my real nature, which is the essential nature of everything. If being endowed with this vision is called what? Nishtha, and this Nishtha is Saddarshanam, vision of the truth. Is it clear? You make it very clear. See what happens to you. The whole text you have to go through to see the beauty of it. Sometimes we start with the we're getting a stop now. No, we have to go for breakfast. What's time now?
8:20.
5 minutes. Okay. Let us read this verse again. Because is it clear now what I said? Can you connect to the words?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I didn't want to take much. A lot of Sanskrit don't confuse you with that. That's
no, it's very clear.
Just what's that? The last word, Saddarshana. Sadarshanam mitya vehi.
No. Sadarshanam. Sadarshanam iti avehi. See, nishtayeva sadarshanam iti avehi. May you understand the nishta to be the vision of the truth. What is nishta? Nishta is being endowed with the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one soul. Self being consciousness and seeing consciousness being the existence of this universe. The seeing the Sat being Chit is the Saddarshanam, he says. Seeing the Sat being Chit is the Saddarshanam. And that is what is Nishta. Which means there is no isolation here. Understand, there is no isolation, which means everything is Sat, Sat is Chit, I am Chit, therefore I am everything, I am the whole. Absolutely. Relatively, you have to go for breakfast. Atma doesn't need breakfast. That is why you shouldn't get confused with things. See,
Bhavantu Saddarshana Sadhanani.
Bhavantu Saddarshana Sadhanani.
Parasya Nama Kriti Bhissaparya.
Parasya Nama Kriti Bhissaparya.
Sadvastuni.
Sadvastuni.
Prapta Tadatma Bhava.
Prapta Tadatma Bhava.
Nishtaiva Saddarshanam ityavehi.
Nishtaiva Saddarshanam ityavehi.
Sadvastuni prapta tad atma bhava nishtayeva Saddarshanam iti avehi. Om Purnamada
Purnamidam Purnam Purnam Dachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Guru Yoga.